Chapter 12. Of it. He leaned towards me across the little table, and I tried to avoid his stare. Do you think I was afraid of death? He asked in a voice very fierce and low. He brought down his open hand with a bang that made the coffee cup stance. I am ready to swear I was not. By God, no. He hitched himself upright and crossed his arms. His chin fell on his breast. The soft clashes of crockery reached us faintly through the high windows. There was a burst of voices, and several men came out in high good humor into the gallery. They were exchanging jocular reminiscences of the donkeys in Cairo. A pale, anxious youth stepping softly on long legs was being chaffed by a strutting and rubicund globetrotter about his purchases in the bazaar. And no, really, do you think I've been done to that extent? He inquired, very earnest and deliberate. The band moved away, dropping into chairs as they went. Matches flared, illuminating for a second faces without the ghost of an expression, and the flat glaze of white shirt fronts. The hum of many conversations animated with the ardor of feasting sounded to me absurd and infinitely remote. Om of the crew were sleeping on the number one hatch within reach of my arm, began Jim again. You must know they kept Kalashi watch in that ship, all hands sleeping through the night, and only the reliefs of quartermasters and lookout men being called. He was tempted to grip and shake the shoulder of the nearest Lascar, but he didn't. Something held his arms down along his sides. He was not afraid, oh no. Only he just couldn't, that's all. He was not afraid of death perhaps, but I'll tell you what, he was afraid of the emergency. His confounded imagination had evoked for him all the horrors of panic, the trampling rush, the pitiful screams, boats swamped, all the appalling incidents of a disaster at sea he had ever heard of. He might have been resigned to die, but I suspect he wanted to die without added terrors, quietly, in a sort of peaceful trance. A certain readiness to perish is not so very rare, but it is seldom that you meet men whose souls, steeled in the impenetrable armor of resolution, are ready to fight a losing battle to the last. The desire of peace waxes stronger as hope declines, till at last it conquers the very desire of life. Which of us here has not observed this, or maybe experienced something of that feeling in his own person, this extreme weariness of emotions, the vanity of effort, the yearning for rest? Those striving with unreasonable forces know it well, the shipwrecked castaways in boats, wanderers lost in a desert, men battling against the unthinking might of nature, or the stupid brutality of crowds. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.